Alleluia, Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Mary set out in those days and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant in her womb leaped, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears. The infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what the Lord had spoken to you would be fulfilled." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It is ironic, to say the least, that on the first day of winter, we get God telling us from the Song of Songs, "For see, the winter is past." But there's a beauty to this day, which is the shortest day of the year in terms of the amount of sunshine that we get. But it is also the day that the meteorologists tell us the descent of the amount of light is turned around, and from this point forward all the way through June 22nd we're going to have more sunshine each day. And that's why the O Antiphon that the church has today, which is not the one that we sang in the gospel verse, I'll explain that in a second, is so relevant as we prepare to embrace Christ as he comes. O Oriens, the church sings out today. O rising sun, splendor lucis eterne, splendor of the eternal light, et sol justitiae, and son of justice, that very son of justice whom we called out in the responsorial psalm today, to exalt you just in the Lord. He is the one who is the dawn of the justice, that one who in the prophet Isaiah we cry out to God to rain down on us his due, that just one. And we turn to him and we say, "Come and free those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death." Christ is coming as the light in order to irradiate our darkness, the whole world's darkness. And on this day, in which we will have more darkness than any other day, it's an occasion for us to hunger for that light. And it's in the middle of the darkness that God calls us forth, that God seeks to strengthen us. St. John the Baptist was growing in the dark womb of his mom Elizabeth, and it is right there that Christ irradiated him with the light of his grace. And in the midst of this longing that is depicted in the Song of Songs, we see how the light of love, the real passion that exists on God's part for us and that he wants to provoke in us, is shown in all its poetic beauty. "Hark, my lover, here he comes, springing across the mountains, leaping across the hill." That's precisely what Jesus was doing before he had even the tiniest of feet in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Going down from the mountain on which Nazareth had been built, up the huge mountain of Jerusalem, down into the valley, and then up the hill to Ein Garim. That's precisely what the great lover with a capital L was doing, springing and leaping like a gazelle, like a young stag. "My lover speaks and he says to me," and this is what Advent is all about. It's not just about his coming, but it's an invitation for us to go out and meet him in an internal embrace of love. Arise, my beloved, my dove, my pure one, in other words, my beautiful one. He finds us beautiful. He sees in us the great beauty that goes way beyond whatever ugly mascara we can put on because of our sins. Arise, my beloved, my dove, my beautiful one, and come. For see, even in the midst of winter, it's past. Don't worry about it any longer. The rains are over and gone. Flowers are appearing. The time of pruning the vines has come. Song of the dove is heard in our land. Song of that purity. There's new life coming. There's new birth. Fig tree pours forth its figs. The vine and bloom give forth fragrance. Summarize again. Arise, my beloved, my beautiful one, and come. St. John of the Cross, as I'm sure you know, has written such a beautiful commentary in this whole passage about the whole life of prayer, the whole Christian life, which God calls us to get up. It's fundamentally dynamic. And go to him. Contrast to that is sedentes in tenebris, those who are seated in darkness and in the shadow of death. They don't want to move. Advent, as we've been talking about the entire time, is fundamentally dynamic. It's telling us to get up, and that word arises, let me raise you from the dead. Let me get you up so that you might come and come to meet me, who is springing and leaping like a gazelle, to come with that same enthusiasm, to recognize that life is all around. Let me see you. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and you are lovely. He wants to engage in a new song, the song of the dove, even though the lyrics may be the same as in previous times, in which we sing of the four things we always talk about to God: praise, thanks, sorrow, and petition. We always do it in a new way, because we do it, or we're called to do it, with profound gratitude, because the Lord has responded to so many previous petitions, and so we're able to do it with ever greater confidence. O Orient, Christ is that rising sun. I mentioned you a little bit before, and it's good for Catholics just to know, lest we be confused, what the liturgy has done with the O Antiphons. The traditional O Antiphons that go back at least 1300 years, but probably 1600, have been traditional, and they spell out in the reverse acrostic the arrow cross, the I will be there tomorrow that I described on December 17th. And we keep them in their traditional order at the Magnificat antiphon each night. But at Mass, because there are eight Masses, whereas there are seven Vespers over the course of this period of the O Antiphon, the Church has manipulated them a little bit with the readings. And today's the first day of the manipulation. The first 4 days are always the same. But today we've got Oriens, tomorrow we're supposed to have Rex Gentium, the King of the Nations, and then fittingly on the last day of Vespers during Advent we will have O Emmanuel, O God is with us. But what has happened is the Church, for the Alleluia verses, takes the O Emmanuel from December 23rd and puts it today. Why? So they could take O Oriens and put it on December 24th. When, as the last gospel before Christmas, we hear Zechariah's canticle talking about the dawn that is coming, precisely in order to illumine those seated in darkness and in the shadow of death. So there's a certain fittingness for that being an Alleluia verse. And then in between, on December 22nd and then December 23rd, we repeat the O King of the Nations, reminding us that the Lord is coming to precisely be Lord, not just of the Jews, but of all of us. Today, though, is that day in which the Church historically always looked at the longest night of the year, and we turned and made a spiritual application to the Lord rising in that night. Rising. But the big choice for us is whether we're going to allow him to raise us with him so that we can come to him as his beloved and sing to him and with him that song of the pure dove, that song inspired by the Holy Spirit, who helps us to cry out, Abba, Father, and remind us of all that Jesus said and does. In St. John's Gospel, Jesus said that the light has come into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their deeds were evil. Christ comes to do all of this, but we've got to ask ourselves whether we're going to allow that light truly to radiate us, or whether we're going to hold on to the types of images that we have that have been formed by sin. So often our insecurities, so often our lack of self-esteem come because we identify far too much with our sins than we do with Mercy Mild, who is coming as God and sinners reconciled in order to bring us into that presence of the Lord. And so when Jesus is basically saying, get up and come, my beloved, he's asking us to leave the shackles behind, the shackles that he is himself going to unlock, so that we're able to run with him and hide with him in that cleft of the rock, hide with him in that life hidden with God, which is the contemplative life, which is so much a part of the consecrated life that we continue to mark this year. And the greatest way we can prepare for this is at Mass. You know, I'm sure that when you hear that word, O Oriens, because of your great liturgical formation, you're recuperating that whole sense of Ad Orientem, that all the initial churches were all built facing the east, so that what could happen, so that at the time of the elevation of the host, people could look up on top of the, where there'd be some type of window set up, and you could see the sun shining into the church, so that you'd be able to see how the Lord is precisely trying to illumine us with a supernova of light through him in Holy Communion. And we were all liturgically oriented toward Christ, the rising sun, rising from the dead every day, no matter how much darkness there is. And some of the days it'll be pretty dark. The darkness will be thick. There'll be a lot of pain. There'll be a lot of sorrow. God knows that you have those days. But every day we start early at dawn, and that rising dawn comes. It doesn't just come on the outside to illumine our eyes. It comes on the inside to illumine our soul, so that we might be able to look with the eyes of faith on everything. The Oriens is coming. He who is the splendor of eternal light, he who is the Son of Justice, bringing us to see all things in his righteousness, getting us up from the ways that we sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and help us to start leaping in the light and living not under a shadow, but living openly with him who is the life. Let us receive him who is the Oriens today with the same love by his grace with which the beloved receives the bridegroom coming as a young stag. Praise be Jesus Christ.
No.